Hello and welcome to the Wild Minds podcast with me, your host, Joe Farrell. In this podcast, we'll be covering people's mentality, how we can help the environment, and people's mental health. We'll understand how people coped in difficult situations and how people managed to overcome the challenges they were faced with in life. If you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, follow us on Instagram at wildminds.uk and on Facebook at wildminds.uk. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Right, Wild Minds Nation, we're back again with another podcast, another Wild Minds Wednesday. And this week I have my friend Lewis, or Link Lewis, as people know you these days.
That's true. Thank you for having me.
No problem, mate. 26, I just looked at your Spotify, 26,000 monthly listeners.
It's not bad.
It's a bit mad, isn't it?
It's going well for now. It's whenever I release music. If I release something, it tends to go up, but then it suddenly starts plummeting again, and you're like, oh, I need to write a new tune quick. But no, at the moment, things have been going well. I released one just before Christmas, so luckily the numbers have been pretty good.
Yeah, I can say it's like motivation, isn't it, that number. They give you how many listeners you've got. You see it going down, you see it going up. It's just motivation, just keep going up. No one likes it going down.
No, definitely. It's a massive motivation. The only problem is you can get really fixated on that number. And I've come to realize since I started doing things on my own and releasing music, that number can be a really healthy thing in your mind, or it can be really bad. You know, because you can be putting in exactly the same work rate, and for whatever reason, people just aren't engaging as much. So when the number's good, you feel good, but you kind of need to learn to detach yourself from it a little bit. But 100%, like, when I see the numbers high, I think, yeah, I'm working hard. So
what's your best song? What have you had the most listens on? Because I know what my favorite is.
I think I know what your favorite is as well. But my most listened to song is a track called Am I In, which was my, I'm just trying to think now. I think it was my second release. And it's weird because, like, I'm sure loads of artists feel like this, but like for me, I feel like my music's got stronger release by release, because I feel like I'm learning more and like working out kind of how I want to sound and stuff like that. But this one just seems to catch on with people. And I suppose the way Spotify works these days, like the whole playlist thing is like, it's like the new radio for artists. So right. If you can get your track added to a really popular playlist, especially if your track stays on that playlist for a long period of time, your song's just exposed to hundreds of thousands of people for however long it's on there. And that's just something that was never like readily available to artists years ago before Spotify came around. And luckily that track was added to a playlist on Spotify called Soul Coffee. So I remember looking on it at one point and my monthly listeners were up to like 80,000, and my most played place in the world was Las Vegas.
That's a bit mad.
Yeah, it was so weird. I was thinking, who in their right mind is listening to my tune in Las Vegas right now? But I suppose it might have been coffee shops or something like that, but I got loads of plays from that playlist. And yeah, that's my most played tune.
That's mad. So have you been to Vegas before?
I've never been to Vegas, no.
But the Vegas lot are banging your tunes, but you've never even been.
Exactly. It's so weird. It's like if I were to go on now, guaranteed the UK will not be there. It won't even be in the top 10.
That's mad. I always
think, I gig here all the time. I've lived here my entire life. Like, anyone who knows me is from the UK, really. But that's the beauty of Spotify. Like, you don't even need to have traveled to these places or need to have been played on a radio station, because you've got people all over the world listening to your tunes.
So it's like just like engagements, isn't it? As soon as it gets enough engagements, it's like opening up to a wider audience, and then it's just throwing out to a lot more people.
It's like a domino effect, and you just hope that you've got enough people talking about your music at that time. But I feel like a lot of people these days are chasing getting some playlist placements because they know that it's going to get their track heard.
Yeah, it's a bit mad. I didn't even know it worked like that.
Yeah, so luckily, just before Christmas, I released my my latest single, Moments, which is a bit different from all the stuff that I've done before. It's slower and a bit more of a ballad. And I thought at the time, I thought it's risky going for a track that I don't know whether people are going to see me in that way, you know, hear me in that way, because they've heard so many different things from her before.
Yeah.
But luckily it was added to one of Spotify's playlists. It's called The Most Beautiful Songs in the World. I was absolutely buzzing with that. And that's got about, I think that's got 2.1 million followers. So it's had over 100,000 plays in a month.
That's mad.
Yeah. Honestly, I couldn't believe it. If you would have said to me, what playlist in all of Spotify would you want this song to be on? That would have been number one.
That's like a...
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was stood in my kitchen and I remember I was just scrolling across, just having a look at where the players had been coming from. And then I saw that playlist and I nearly lost it. It's a good feeling to know that, you know, people in Spotify like the tune, and obviously the title of the playlist itself is a massive compliment to the song.
Yeah, so it's like you were saying before, like you'd be usually your gig round here and stuff like this. I guess your industry with the music and stuff has been one of the hardest hit industries with the virus going on, really.
Yeah, definitely.
So have you managed to get through? Because it's not just like you can't do it, it's like it's your job and it's like loss of income and stuff like that. So
no,
have you managed to get through this?
I know so many musicians who have unfortunately just had to, like, they've had to get a new job or look at some other kind of work for the short term, just because there's no opportunity for anyone to play. And like for me, my main source of income has always been gigging. So it's been, it hit me hard. It was really difficult. And I suddenly had loads of emails from loads and loads of people saying, can I have my deposit back? Because
yeah.
We don't know when we're going to be able to like proceed with the booking or actually have the event. So it's been a bit of a nightmare, to be honest, on that front. But I'm trying. All I could think of while it was all going on was there are so many other people in this position. You know, it's not just me that's been hit by it. So financially, it's been tough taking losses and thinking about all the gigs that I were meant to be doing, because it was meant to be a really big summer for me this year. I had a lot of gigs booked in. And even Christmas, like normally around Christmas time, I've got between 20 and 30 bookings in December alone. So it's been weird this year, just having to sit inside and actually have a Christmas day, and I'll have a New Year's Eve at home without playing anywhere, which is weird.
Yeah, so we've had a lot more time, you know what I mean, gigging and stuff. You can't go outside. Do you think your other music's improved because you've had so much time to plan that and do stuff with that?
I hope so. Yeah, I do. I hope so. I feel like, to be honest, if someone said to me, obviously not globally because it's been an absolute catastrophe, but for like me as a person, would I go through the whole lockdown thing again? I probably would, because I've learned a lot about myself, and I like to think I'm quite a determined person. So I ended up, luckily for me, I produce and I write music for other artists as well as my own stuff. So through in the day, I've still been able to work in the studio and like you say, work on my own songs. So I'm hoping that the material I've made in that time is going to be good. I think it's good.
You think?
I hope.
So touching on like you, because people know you as a singer, but then you said like then you're a producer and a songwriter.
Yeah, so. That probably kickstarted from working with Jordan.
Yeah.
Who you obviously know. So I remember we started working together a little bit. I used to be in a band, and he came and did one gig with us in that band. And then from there on in, I think we just clicked straight away on a musical level. I felt like I knew the kind of stuff he wanted to be produced for him, and like the kind of music that he was interested in writing. So I think we clicked pretty quickly there. And I suppose it was working with Jordan that really like started the whole songwriting and production processes off for me, because I ended up becoming really interested in it then. And I was like, right, I'm actually interested in producing and writing my own stuff instead of, because before then I was just going out to studios and paying someone else to do it. And I thought, as amazing as a lot of the people that I've worked with have been, one of the issues I found is that if you can produce and write something yourself, you know that you're going to craft something that's like exactly your idea. Sometimes trying to like communicate that with someone else, unless they know your vision inside out like you do,
yeah,
you're never going to walk away with something that's absolutely perfect unless you find someone that's on the same wavelength as you. And I've worked with some amazing producers and learned a lot from them. So I ended up doing that a lot with Jordan. Hopefully, like everything he's released so far, I've luckily been involved in. So I'm hoping that, like, I mean, next year, he's got a big year ahead of him, I think. He's got some really, really good music coming out next year.
Yeah.
And I think there's a big difference in kind of in sound, and like his music sounds a lot more mature and a lot more what I know he's interested in listening to now as well.
See, I ain't got a clue about music. I listen to music, but I don't know these ins and outs like you lot know them.
It's a complicated world, you know, it is. And we probably drive ourselves mad thinking about it. We think about things way too much. I've come to realize, like, I had a huge anxiety about putting like performance style videos on my Instagram, just of me singing or me playing piano. But then I'm happy to perform in front of as many people as you want me to perform in front of in a pub, a club, or on stage at a festival or whatever. So it's like, why am I so bothered about putting something on my Instagram when I'm like more than happy to play for all these people and not even feel very nervous? Mate, so it was weird.
The internet's like a whole different world, though, and it's like this real world and this internet world.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've seen some people get torn up on the internet. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Exactly. And a comment lasts forever. You're like, yeah. If I'm playing at a festival and someone's like, oh, I'm not feeling this guy, and I have seen that before. Like, I'll be playing, I can get a vibe for people whether they like my music or not, but I'm never going to see them again.
Yeah.
But if I have to go back to a comment and it's not good, you've just got to learn to detach yourself. But what I've realized is, like, I'm way too precious about it all, and I just need to post it, because if I didn't think I could do it to at least a decent level, then I probably shouldn't do it as a job.
You can get like 100 positive comments, and that one negative will sting you and it'll sit with you for ages.
It does, definitely. And but the other thing is as well, I suppose you've got to look at it like a learning experience. If there is a negative comment, you know, like if someone left something constructive, almost,
yeah,
I could take that. Obviously, there's loads of people out there who just have it in their minds that I think they want to get to the person that they're writing about. If it was something like, this isn't my cup of tea, because I'd actually look into it and I'd be like, right, how can I change that person's mind? Or yeah, what can I do in my next post or my next release that's going to like get them on board, basically?
I think a lot of the negative stuff is, when you say it's people that want to get to where that person is, it is a lot of jealousy stuff. Like, people just get mad. If someone's doing something they want to do and they're not doing it, they just get angry about it and they just fire out at you.
No, I completely agree, mate. I think it's a like a proper complicated world. Instagram, Facebook, all social media, and like me, I couldn't live without it. My business effectively wouldn't run the same without those platforms. I'm really thankful for them, but I think everyone's got to be aware of like how damaging they can be at the same time, and be able to detach themselves from it, because it's not healthy.
Instagram and all this, using the right way, is a good thing. But it definitely can be used so much. It can be a bad thing on people that don't think enough of themselves or want to be other people too much and don't want to be the best version of themselves. They want to be this person instead.
Definitely.
It's dangerous for them.
And we realize, and like, even, you know, I found myself saying, like, you know, everything on Instagram is fake, or most of what you see on Instagram is fake. And then I thought, I feel like a hypocrite saying that. Because if I went on my Instagram now, I haven't posted anything. I haven't posted something on my Instagram saying I've had an awful day in the studio today. I've literally been working for 8 hours straight and come up with nothing. which happens probably more often than I'd like to admit. But really, I should be posting stuff like that because it's relatable and at least it lets people know that you're human. So that
it's
was
a highlight reel, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. That's
the best way I can explain it.
Definitely. There are goods and bads to every story, isn't there? And it's like it was earlier this year, I basically just set myself a target of a selfie style video on your Instagram and let your personality just come through. People are going to either relate to you or they're not, but just accept it and just put it out there. And I did. And I, by the end of it, I was like, why have I even been worried about any of this? And even if people have made the odd comment, it's like, you look at all the good stuff and it's just completely outweighed.
Yeah, I think the first time I ever spoke on my Instagram story, it must have took me at least 50 takes to do. I'm thinking, this is awful.
The thing is as well, you're going to say that because you're looking at yourself. Like, I don't know many people who like the sound of their own voice when they hear themselves back on a video.
It's awful. It is awful. Editing these is awful. I cringe all the way from it.
Oh, it's you just got to... Like no one hears what you hear in yourself, do they?
Yeah, it's weird.
Where did you do the first video that you did for this?
It was what's it called? It's up by top of Melford, like a reservoir.
Ah, nice, nice.
Is it a Digley, I think? First video I did, I was out on a walk on my own. And then I thought, you know what? I'll give a little inspirational speech this morning because I was on my own walking around. There was no one else around. It was like middle of lockdown. Did a little talk. Yeah, did a little talk and then I posted it. And then I got loads of people messaging me like, oh, good, that, glad to hear this. This is helping through the day, all stuff like that. I'm thinking it's good. You just got to do stuff, man.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that must be amazing to feel like you made a difference like that.
It's good, man.
I think receiving a message like that, if that ain't enough ammo to continue doing what you're doing, then I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's literally likes on pictures, likes on stuff that I'm doing. People message me about the podcast, just listen to the podcast, such a great podcast, I've learned so much from it. And I'm thinking, when I'm doing them, I'm thinking, oh, why is anyone going to be interested in what I've got to say? But then when they message you saying they're interested, they're learning stuff, it's like gives you more energy to keep going with it.
Yeah, of course it does, 100%. And the other thing is as well to say, like, I might be on a night out or out with my friends or something like that, and someone will take me to one side and be like, I listen to your music all the time. I really like it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why don't I see that from you? Like, or why don't I hear from you about it? And I think to myself, well, not everybody is like as attached to social media as I have to be to see whether I'm doing well. Like, people might be quiet about it, but they're well within their right. And you should kind of just like, you don't realize how many people might be listening to you or taking something from what you have to say, because they might not be that kind of person, but being aware that there are people out there that are taking something from it and you might not hear from them. That's like, I have to get my head around the fact that right now someone's probably listening to one of my tunes on the other side of the world. That's just so weird to me. Yeah, it will always be so foreign, that feeling. I'm just like, that's such a weird feeling, but amazing feeling at the same time to think someone's going out of their way to listen to me.
Yeah, it's just got to be more energy for you, hasn't it? Like, someone in Las Vegas is listening to your tune now and he's got to be thinking, right, I need a next tune so someone in Vietnam can listen. I need a next tune so someone else somewhere else can listen.
That's it. Definitely. And I think the aim now is to work with as many people as I can and release as much music as I can, because I feel like my biggest battle is definitely with myself.
Yeah.
My own head all the time. Like, there's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this. And I am so picky musically about certain things. And I think half the people listening to my music don't even care.
Yeah.
Or they don't even hear what I'm hearing. Like, I'll do maybe 60, 70 piano takes and I'll be trying to get this one thing right. And I'll say to someone, did you hear that? Did you notice it? And they'll be like, no.
Yeah, see, I ain't got a clue. I'm listening to it. I just listen. If it sounds good, it sounds good. I don't know what anyone's doing. I can't name the instruments I'm listening to, but it sounds good.
That's what I have to bear in mind, because, you know, that's the that's basically what's probably in everyone's heads that's listening to my music, or at least the people that matter. I want, I basically just need to stop being as married to my music.
Who would you listen to when you say you're just chilling, you sat down chilling? Who's your go-to person you're going to listen to?
That is a good question.
Give me your top five artists.
That is very hard. You see, this again. I'm going to go for it now. I'm a massive fan of Brent Faiyaz. Have you heard of Brent Faiyaz?
No.
Right, okay. Unbelievably sick R&B artist. You've got to listen to him. You'd love him.
I think I might have heard the name before, to be fair. Is he in a song recent? Is it recent?
I don't even know how long he's been around, but I stumbled across his stuff maybe 2 years ago or something like that. And he released his album Sonderson about 2 years ago, and I'm obsessed with that album ever since. So he's definitely one. You definitely like his stuff. I'm confident about that.
Yeah, I'll check him out.
Get back to me on him.
Yeah, yeah.
Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, yeah, bangers.
I went to see her last year. And she's like, basically, Brent Faiyaz is like, in my opinion, he's like the male version of her.
So you're setting the bar very high for this guy.
Yeah, I know. He's like, it's just really old school R&B. He's just got an unbelievable voice. So I would definitely say Brent Faiyaz, Lauryn Hill. She's like the queen of R&B for me. Then, this is when it gets difficult. And the thing is, as well, I've got to be honest with myself. So, because I think a lot, I concentrate on voices a lot because obviously I sing and I've always loved James Morrison's voice. So I reckon.
James Morrison is part of my childhood.
Is he?
Listen, every Saturday morning I'd wake up to the album of James Morrison on while my mum's cooking me a bacon sandwich on a Saturday morning.
You see, that sounds like the best Saturday morning ever to me. Which album was it? An old one? Was it the one where it sings You Give Me Something?
Yeah, that one.
Right, okay, yeah. It's a sick album. It's definitely one of his best albums. I've probably seen him play maybe 4 times live.
Yeah.
But his voice is just basically anything that sets someone apart for me. That's what I'm in. That's what I'm interested in listening to. And when I heard his voice, I thought he sounds like nothing I've ever heard before. He's definitely up there.
He is on my Apple Music. Is it that album is on my Apple Music?
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I really like Khalid. I went to see him last year.
Bangers.
He's absolutely sick, actually. I'm playing him down massively. He's absolutely class.
When we was in America with Jordan? No, about the time after when we were Jordan. It was on the radio. The location song was on the radio 24/7. And I shazammed it, thinking, what is this song? And ever since then, just started listening to him.
It's an absolute tune, isn't it? Yeah. He, his... even saying it now, like I come to realise, like loads of my inspirations or the people I listen to are R&B based. Even James Morrison, he's not R&B based, but like his voice, in my opinion, would sound amazing over a, like an R&B tune. But Khalid, yeah, I went to see him last year, and he was unbelievable live. Actually, his voice sounded exactly the same at the first Direct Arena as it did in blasting out my car.
Yeah, that's mad. Ridiculous.
They're the kind of artists you remember, aren't they?
Been to 2 live music things in my life, that's it. Concerts.
I remember you saying this, actually. We need to go somewhere, don't we?
Mate, I watched S Club 7 and Hearsay.
Right. S Club 7 and Hearsay?
When I was like, yeah, my mum and dad took me when I was like 6 or 7.
How was that?
I don't remember. I just remember I went.
I bet that was actually mad, you know. I bet the energy was high for them. Well,
at the time, I'd have been gassed. Yeah, I'd have been gassed at the time.
That's so funny. They S Club got back together, didn't they, not that long ago?
I don't have a clue. All these old groups get back together, break up again, get back together, break up again. I don't know what anyone's doing.
Am I being stupid in thinking, oh, I'm going to sound stupid here. S Club 7. There will have been seven of them, weren't there?
You see, you think it sounds stupid, but I don't know either.
I think there were seven.
It makes sense.
S Club 7. Four girls and three boys. That's what I'm going to say. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure when they got back together, there were only like three of them.
Oh, so she was broke.
And they ended up playing in... they ended up doing a gig at Tokyo's in Huddersfield. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that, no.
They ended up doing a gig in... Yeah, they did. They did a gig in Tokyo's, I'm almost certain of it, and I think three of them did it.
They definitely broke.
So you didn't go watch them then?
No, I went back in the day.
Oh, but I thought you might have wanted to go back and watch them again.
Oh, no. I couldn't even name an S Club... I couldn't name a song. I could sing a song, but I couldn't name a song. If it came on the radio, I could sing it.
Right, okay, now I understand that. And then, so who are your favourite artists?
Hold on, you give me four here, aren't you? You're trying to get out of one.
Right, okay. Do you want a band, a singer, a rapper?
I want anything. Whoever's your next one is who I want, because I don't want to pressure you into anything. Because you're going pretty red now, thinking.
I'm honestly racking my brains, yeah. And I don't even know if they were my top five, but they're all up there. They're all up there. I'm going to say... I'm going to say Coldplay, you know.
Coldplay have got bangers.
Yeah, I'm going to say Coldplay. And some people are going to love that, some people are going to hate it, because they're like... I feel like you either love or hate them, but I've always loved their stuff, me.
They're the ones that sing that Paradise...
Yeah.
That's a banger.
Did you see them perform at Glastonbury?
Was it with all the coloured waver things?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sick.
How good were they? I can't remember what tune. It might have been Paradise, you know.
Was he up in the air on a piano?
Yeah. I think Coldplay are unbelievable. I've always loved their stuff. Yeah, their live shows are ridiculous. I remember I went to Summertime, the Capital Summertime Ball, years ago in London, and they went on first, I think. And I think the only reason that they went on first is because they had a gig somewhere else in the country later that night. And the stadium was probably like three quarters full, and literally by the end of their first song, pretty much everyone was in their seats. I remember it being a mad atmosphere. Very, very good band.
If I was to give you my top five at the minute, what I'm listening to, it would be Pop Smoke would be first.
All right, okay. Yeah,
love Pop Smoke. You talk about a different voice. That's a different voice for you.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Definitely is. And what's the collaboration tune that he's just had recently? What's the tune that came out with Pop Smoke?
Which one has been firing him out, hasn't he? Because unfortunately, Pop Smoke got popped.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah. I know. I can't remember what's. Did Drake release a tune with Pop Smoke?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. No.
Oh, I don't know who it is. I'm not going to embarrass myself and say any more people because.
See, I'm embarrassing myself because I said I'm a fan of him.
Yeah, but you can be a fan of someone and not know the names of all their tunes. It's like you could probably sing me an S Club 7 song, but if I asked you a name of one now, you probably wouldn't give me anything, would you?
Yeah, 100%. What else have we listened to? Marvin Gaye is always at the top of mine.
Oh, Marvin Gaye's sick.
He's always on.
If I'm DJing, if you stick Marvin Gaye on, there are very rarely anyone in the room that is not approving of that choice.
There's like the slow songs, but then he's got like his bangers. So like you can pick which side of the spectrum you want to be on with him.
No, definitely. 100%. Do you ever think to yourself, if someone like Marvin Gaye was releasing music right now, or if he had access to obviously all the technology and studio equipment that we have now, do you reckon he would be even bigger than he was then? Or do you think he wouldn't be as big?
I don't have a clue. You're the music brain here. I just listen. I don't know this stuff.
I just think some of the best songs that have ever, some of the best songs in history from this moment backwards, I think the majority of the best songs in the world have come from years and years ago.
They're all getting remade into new songs now as well.
Exactly. And what's sad about that is not a lot of people even know that.
I was going to tell you this. I was listening to a song the other day. I was on like an old school playlist and I heard the song and I was like, that's that song. I'm like, it was copied over here, but I'm thinking, how could he have copied him if he's made the tune back then?
Even realize, do you? Yeah. And for whatever reason, they might have just got like permissions from the label to re-release it or permissions from the artist or whatever. But yeah, there are some songs that you, even now, a current artist like Justin Bieber, Love Yourself, for example, was originally written by Ed Sheeran. But then I think he wanted that tune to be released by Rihanna.
Yeah,
but in the end, Justin Bieber ended up singing it. And it was like, but I'm just trying to think of a song that loads of people think is the original. And that naturally, now that I'm on the spot, I'm not going to be able to tell you any.
There was a Future song the other day I saw on Instagram, and someone was like, how to make a Future song. And it was a Mask Off song.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, looked back, you know, from the like 1950s. They got like the violin set, and then they slowed it right down. And that was the tune of the song.
It's mad, isn't it, that? And then I know Drake used a Lauryn Hill sample in one of his tunes.
It's... you know, what
yeah, I do. I don't know the name of that. It's a banger, to be fair.
No, it might be something for what. See, no, I'm embarrassing myself now because I should know this.
You might be right, and if we're wrong, it doesn't matter. We know what we're talking about. So yeah, it's fine. Yeah. But no, loads of stuff like, especially like loads of. Hip hop and R&B stuff these days is just samples of really old tunes, because that's like the sound that's in at the moment. Like if you can get a really old vinyl sounding sample and then stick a big hard hitting beat underneath it, it sounds sick.
Yeah. I think if I got, and then my third choice would be, listen, this is how mad my music spectrum is, right? I just bounce everything.
Pop Smoke, Marvin Gaye,
and Linkin Park.
Okay, sick. Now I understand that. They once released a tune. Sounds embarrassing. That went on Transformers. It was it was one of the Transformers.
Was it a slow song?
No.
I've never seen Transformers, so I don't know.
I haven't seen all the Transformers. I think I might have only seen the first one. I'm pretty sure it was the first one, or maybe even the second one. I'm not sure.
I might have seen some of the first one, but then I just thought this isn't for me. This.
But you like some of their stuff? Do you like any hard rock stuff, or is it just Linkin Park?
Probably just Linkin Park. I don't mind rock music, but my favourite song for Linkin Park is Papercut, which is like a full rock tune as well.
And why do you like it?
I do not have a clue.
You don't know why you like it?
It just sounds good.
Yeah, I wonder what... I'd love to know what makes you like that tune. That's what if I was sat in a studio now with you, I would play that song and I would want you to explain why it made you feel like why you liked it, or what do you feel when you listen to it? Do you know? You just think you like it?
I think.
Does it give you energy?
I think the difference between rap and hip hop, rap and rock music isn't that big. The gap is similar. The beats are kind of similar. It's just the way, well, I don't know what I'm talking about. The way they're put together is different, but like the basses and stuff is like kind of similar.
I don't think you're on the wrong lines there, you know. I think, like, have you ever seen the documentary Defiant Ones?
No.
I think that's what it's called, on Netflix. And it's basically Dr. Dre, who's obviously come from hip-hop, NWA, come from hip-hop and R&B, and then you've got Jimmy Iovine, who recorded John Lennon from the Beatles, Bruce Springsteen, like loads of like rock based artists, and they ended up working together and they ended up signing beats over to Apple for a ridiculous amount of money, and they were basically business partners. And you've got R&B on one hand and rock, well, I'd say rock mainly, and pop on another, and they're like one of the biggest collaborations of producers ever. So yeah, they obviously bad. there was something similar going on there in their heads.
Yeah, because it's like they both got hard bass in them, and the rap music's mostly bass, and then with a funky tune on top.
Definitely, like you said, I think it's like the energy, isn't it, that you've, and like a lot of people Like if you went on running playlists or workout playlists, the most popular ones will probably be the high energy ones, so dance music, rock, and hip hop, R&B.
Yeah, maybe I didn't think about it that way. It's probably is the way. I guess music is the way it makes you feel. Is how if you like it or not.
Definitely, yeah. I think to myself, like, that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around at the moment, because I've made myself busy through lockdown creating loads of playlists, because I'm thinking it'd be great if I can create a really popular playlist that loads of people listen to, and hopefully some of my own songs or songs that I've worked on eventually will fit that playlist, and I can expose my own tracks to more people. So yeah. But it's interesting, because then, like, I'm thinking, right, I've just created a winter walks playlist. So I'm like, right, what songs sound like winter to me? So immediately I'm thinking Linkin Park's probably out the window. I'm thinking probably Khalid, Lauryn Hill, all the people we've mentioned so far, they're probably out the window. So what makes me feel like that? Maybe some of James Morrison's songs?
Let It Snow.
Let It Snow. Well... See what you've done there. I see what you've done there. But it's interesting. Yeah, I think all music's meant to give you some kind of feeling in one way or another. I basically wanted to make people cry with my latest single, Not Afraid to Admit It. That's what I wanted.
I like it. I guess it is. It's sparking emotions, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. The person who sent me this message probably won't mind me telling this story, but basically my latest single is about kind of like, it was a strange one to write, and the story behind it is, when my grandma died, at her funeral they read this poem, which I'm sure loads of people have heard, but for some reason I hadn't heard it at the time, and it was called Do Not Stand By My Grave. And basically the whole theme of it was, well, the first few lines are like, do not stand by my grave and weep, I am not there, I do not sleep. And then it says, and then they started giving loads of metaphors like, I am a thousand winds that blow, I am the diamond glint on snow. So it's like saying, even though I'm not here anymore, I am here.
Yeah, it's like...
In other things, like I'm around you.
The way it makes me think there is like, it's like they're saying that they've gone back to, like, well, the way I think about it, so if it's gone back to nature, like saying they're in the snow, they're in the leaves, they're in everything around you.
Exactly, so... And when I think about it, like, that was a long time ago, and I knew for years and years and years that I wanted to write a song with similar lyrics, or like a similar style. So, and that's exactly what came into my head. It was like nature and the seasons. And for whatever reason, I just left that idea on a shelf in my head for however long. And I've only just recently revisited it and turned it into my latest single, but that was the idea by it. And I just, even though, like, it was the first time I'd ever lost anyone close to me at all, from my family or in my life completely, so I was well torn up by it. But then when I remember listening to that poem, and my perspective on it changed, and I was like, that's actually a really comforting way to think about it. Like, now I just feel like she is around me in one way or another. So if I can give someone that comfort, putting similar lyrics together in that kind of song, then I think it will work nicely. And luckily, I think I've managed to do it. I've got loads of messages from random people on Facebook and stuff like that about this new single. And they've just saying, like, I've just lost someone close to me. And I remember this one person actually said they just recently lost their dad. And they were feeling really torn up about it. And they'd taken some flowers from the funeral. This sounds so morbid, but this is the story. I take it as a massive positive. So, and this bee ended up flying onto these flowers. And it was like feeding on the flowers. And she was saying, I don't know why, but it gave me loads of comfort. It felt like the bee was going to take away some of my dad and spread it wherever. And it was just like, oh, that's a really nice message to receive. And she was like, I really, really am thankful that I had your song to listen to in this time. And I was like, blown away.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it, I think, with death and stuff. I've only ever lost like one grandparent, That's like the only one I've ever been through. But back then I was young. You're young, you don't really understand what's going on. I didn't really understand what's going on. I understood I was never going to see my granddad again, but I didn't understand why this was happening.
What even happened? Yeah, of course.
But now when I get older, I think about it. I think about the world more and about the earth more. And I think how we're just part of the earth. And when we have our turn and we die, it's like it's a whole circling. Like we give ourselves back to the earth. And then the earth passes on that energy to the next generation and the next generation.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's kind of, that is basically the, that's the message that I basically wanted to give off in this song. But when I'm saying like my main aim is to make people cry, that is not in a bad way. Don't want to make people sad. Like I want to give people the same feeling that that I had, because some people don't know how to deal with it, or some people just don't know how to think of it. Like I just remember feeling really low, and I felt like I'm never going to see her again. And now I feel like with those ideas in my head, I do see her again, or I can at least remind myself of her or think of her again, because I've got those ideas in my head now. So I ended up talking about leaves blowing in the trees, the ocean, beaches, all that sort of thing. And now in those tiny moments, if it helps someone think of someone that they loved, then I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, it's good memories that will come with that though. It's not going to be bad stuff that's going to come with it. You're going to provoke good memories in their head, and that'll improve their mindset as it is.
Yeah, fingers crossed. No, definitely.
Is the song out now? You say it's out now?
Yeah, it came out right at the end of November. The response to this one, it makes me feel like I should probably release a softer one again. But then I don't know. The massive problem that a lot of artists have I'm saying that, and really it's a problem I have. I know a few artists that are in the same mindset as me, where they don't want to release too much music that is too different. You know, you don't want one release to be too far different from your last, because you might be kind of introducing yourself to a brand new audience who love one song don't really like the other.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
So, and I suppose if you were to listen to, like, I have quite a few people saying I can hear you in all of your music, which is definitely a good thing for me. But when I listen to my music from I've released 10 singles now, so from the first single through to the last one, I can hear big differences. And I'm just hoping that people enjoy all of them. But you're never going to be able to get answers to those questions.
Mate, I've still got Easily Said on full blast in car still.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's good. That is good. I loved making that tune. It, some songs write themselves really quickly, and other songs take ages. And that one, I should probably mention Nick, actually, who both me and Jordan work with, who is based in Kent, but he's a producer and writer that we both work with on nearly all of our, well, actually all of my releases so far have gone through Nick as well. He's an amazing producer and writer that I've been working with for ages. And that song took us maybe, I'd say we back and forth that song for maybe 2 days and it was completely finished. Some songs take months and we're like pulling our hair out, like what doesn't sound right? But this one just seemed to write itself.
Yeah, I rate the tune. I'm playing it in my van at work. There's two of us in my work van. So then I've played it like 4 or 5 times. And then Calvert, that sits across from me in the work van, singing the song while it's on.
I love that.
Then he's asking me, oh, what's the name of it? Or so he can get on his Apple and his iTunes and stuff like that.
No, oh, that's sick. Well, I appreciate that, mate. Thank you.
See, I'm just spreading the word.
Absolutely. Well, they Easily Said. It's hard because I'm 26 years old and I only have so much life experience. So sometimes I think I'm going to write about this today and it will be something that has genuinely happened to me. And other times I'm just thinking, I'm just going to make something up here. I'm just going to make up a completely random story and write a song about it.
I guess as long as it sounds good, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, no, of course. And lyrics are always the hardest bit for me. Getting the music together happens pretty much immediately. And normally, like, I'm not playing around with too many ideas. Normally I know what I want something to sound like musically, but as soon as I've written the backing, I'm like, right, what does this tune make me think of? And nothing comes to mind a lot of the time. I'm literally like, oh, could write this song about pigeons. I could write this song about cake. And I always ended up writing, but this one I actually just wrote about the state of my mind on one random night that I remember on a night out. It literally started, the first verse started from there, and then I just kind of, everything felt a lot easier after that.
Is that what comes, is the beat come first and then the lyrics come after, or you beat the lyrics, then you make a beat to go with it?
I think for me, the music comes first. I don't know whether that's because I only started singing, probably, I'm just trying to think now. I was in a band before I started doing solo stuff. So probably about a year before I started that band, that was the first time I started singing, and I was not a very good singer at all to start with. I mean, I still hate the sound of my own voice now.
I'm the total opposite. I think I sound really, really good, but then whenever people hear it, it's awful.
Everyone sounds good in the shower. So if that's where you sing, you're probably not lying to yourself. You probably do sound great in the shower. It's for some reason, when you sing in your bathroom, it sounds great.
I think I sound good everywhere.
Oh, do you? Maybe you do, mate. Maybe you do. You can sing for me. And we'll try and make a tune together.
It's awful. It's awful. When I made it back on record, it's absolutely horrible.
Honestly. But the thing is, for me, I have to listen to what other people are saying, because I remember I put off singing for ages, even though I loved it. I love singing. I feel like now, after years and years and years of singing, I feel like I can say I can sing to an extent. But when I listen to someone like Yebba or Sam Smith, John Legend, Jordan, someone I work with, when someone I work with comes in and sings the way they do, I'm like, oh, for God's sake. It's just, but I've tried to get over it now. Like, I think the reason the music comes first is because I feel like it comes natural to me. And I learned to play piano and saxophone before I started singing. So naturally, I think that's what comes first. Yeah, vocals always come last. I wish it was the other way around sometimes, because thinking up lyrics for some reason is always the slowest part of the process for me.
I remember when I was younger, back in year 7 days, trying to write some little MC raps and stuff like that. I'm absolutely awful. Lyrics are hard.
They are hard. They are hard. And it's like, what are people going to understand? Because, like, don't get me wrong, I know that a lot of people are just like, I'm creating a song for me. And a lot of the time these days, I'm like, I'm going to create something that I want to create, and hopefully people will get it. You know, I just want to kind of like explore my creativity and see whether people like latch on and understand it. But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, this is a song that I'm probably not going to listen to that much again. And everybody else hopefully is. So I do want people to relate to it. So yeah, that's the hardest bit, making it sound interesting enough for other people to understand, but not sound boring.
Yeah.
At the same time.
The bits of stuff I've done with you, I think the music stuff, I enjoy doing the music videos. When I come up and watch what all you lot are doing, I enjoy doing that.
It's good, isn't it? That's like, that's just a massive outlet of, like, you can just throw loads of ideas at something and see whether it sticks. Like the day we recorded the Easily Said video, I had absolutely no idea whether any of those things we were trying were going to pull off. And luckily, and thank you for letting me use your car as well.
Yeah, it's no problem. Yeah, it was sick. It was a sick day. It's just the creativity and stuff with that. Who was the other guy that came up?
Pete,
yeah, sorry, Pete. You could just tell when he's looking at stuff. Like, if I'm looking at, like, when I do photography and stuff, I look at something to take a picture of. But he was looking at it, like, from all different angles, moving his head, looking up and looking down. He's had to have everything perfect. His brain must be working in overdrive.
Yeah, definitely. And lighting and all that kind of stuff. And, like, knowing what angle is going to capture the idea you've got in your head the best, it's like, well, surely it won't make a difference. But it does, doesn't it? So, and like, we obviously were there when we were doing it, and it feels so stupid at the time. When I got changed 10 times in 10 different clothes and sung the song time and time again. I'm even thinking as I'm doing it, I'm like, what am I doing here? This probably isn't even going to work out. But then when you see that shot in the video and you see 10 versions of me, all like sat listening to myself singing. It's like that is a cool moment in the video, and like I'm well proud of that video. Pete did a sick job on the edit for that. Must have been a difficult edit.
Man, I'm proud of that video. I've got like my little 0.01 second of drone footage in there. I'm absolutely buzzing with it.
It's class. You took some risks, to be fair, flying it in the middle of that chandelier. It was a good shot.
It was a good shot. It could have been an expensive shot.
It could have been a very expensive shot, yeah. No, it's what I would like to tackle in like the year coming is working out how to get across to YouTube and start like getting getting some views and just having my videos seen, because like that's one of the best platforms, but the most difficult platforms to actually get your stuff seen.
I think YouTube's a massive one. I think if you can do anything and get successful on YouTube, then it's just going to grow, because it's like the hub of everything in it, YouTube.
Yeah, definitely it is. And I think to myself, like, that it's the first thing I think of if I want to know something about something else. You know what I mean? Like, you've just renovated a house, so I'm sure you'll have looked at loads of videos on how to do something, but I remember when I was renovating with my girlfriend, we were literally on YouTube all the time trying to find out how to do something. But there's an answer to everything on it.
Mate, YouTube is class. Anything you need to know is on YouTube. And I don't watch television anymore. I watch sport on TV. That's it. I don't watch any television. I just watch YouTube. That's it.
Really? What do you do? Do you watch podcasts and stuff like that? Or do you watch?
If I feel like watching a podcast, I'll watch Joe Rogan's podcast on there.
Class.
But then I've grown up watching KSI and all them lot from being real young. So like I've progressed all the way through them. So I still watch them to this day.
Oh, really? Sick. Fair play. Do you know what though? There's YouTube is like, it's like a giant Netflix. It's like even bigger than all the other. You've got so much to go at. No one can say that there's nothing on YouTube that they won't be interested by, because there's literally everything you can think of. It's like the Amazon of video.
Serious. I watched someone make a samurai sword with a neon light in it the other day. It took 50 minutes to watch, but I watched all of it. It was class.
Oh my God. I bet that is mad, isn't it? They had a neon thing inside the sword.
It was like the sword, like a normal samurai sword. Then it had like a missing chunk out of it. And in the missing chunk, like there were LED strips in the missing chunk. So when they were swinging it about, there were like lines coming behind it and stuff.
That would have surely done more damage than a lightsaber.
Oh yeah, I reckon so.
I never actually watched Star Wars, but I'm sure it would do a lot more damage than that.
I've never seen Star Wars. My dad loves it. I've never seen it.
It's never been something I've been able to get into.
Nah, I don't like Harry Potter either.
Oh, I'm completely against that, you know. I have to say it publicly now, but I've just got some Harry Potter pyjamas.
Oh, boy.
26 years old. And... That was probably my most exciting present this year, and I got some good ones, but I'm a massive Harry Potter fan.
I can't do it with me. I feel like it's just, why don't I like it? I think it's just like a kid's film. It's just annoying. Harry is so, he's ridiculous. He's moaning all the time.
so have you seen any of them? Have you seen, because I don't think the first, because I have this battle with my girlfriend all the time, and do you know what? It's getting really tiring now, because I thought by now I would have convinced her to have watched at least a few, but she's just adamant. And in fairness, I made her watch the first one, and I think that was enough to put her off all of them. But the first two are really like I still think they're absolutely class. Don't get me wrong, but I know that a lot of people would watch them and think, ah, oh, these are really, really childish, like you've said. And that was honestly like you shooting me in the chest when you said that, but. the later ones are the darker, and I respect the creativity in it. Like I just think, how have you thought of all this stuff so well? Like, yeah. Just ridiculous amounts of detail and everything.
I think I'm a massive fan of Lord of the Rings.
So you like Lord of the Rings, but you don't like Harry Potter?
Harry Potter is the kids' version of Lord of the Rings.
You know what? I think Lord of the Rings is good. I was only having this conversation yesterday. I rate Lord of the Rings. But I bet your favourite's the last one, isn't it?
No, the second one.
Oh, You would say that, wouldn't you?
It's the big battle.
The big battle in the second one?
Yeah, yeah, the two towers.
Oh, yeah. No, that is good. Is that where... Oh, no, in that in Return of the King? Where all the trees are throwing the rocks?
The Ents are throwing the rocks in the second one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is good, to be fair. I rate that. I do rate it.
Where they flood Saruman's place where he's making all the orcs.
Yeah, no. He's an evil man, isn't he? He's a very evil man. He's the Voldemort. He's the Voldemort of Lord of the Rings.
I'm telling you that the Harry Potter woman copied off Lord of the Rings.
You think JK copied off, I don't know who wrote Lord of the Rings?
Tolkien.
Really?
I don't know. Listen, we're going to have to look. I'll have to look this up because I don't know who wrote which one first. But it's like a kid's version of Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter.
Listen, you know what? If it is, then I'm happy to be that kid. I really am happy to be that kid. I remember taking myself off. We went to Edinburgh for a little trip, and I went into the Elephant Cafe, which is the famous cafe that J.K. Rowling wrote the first two books, I think it is, and I sat in the chair that she sat in.
And you were buzzing.
I was absolutely over the moon. I'd have paid £500 for a coffee that day.
You loved it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It were amazing. And I think I'm really not making myself sound very good here, am I?
I think we're all like kids in his head. No one likes to admit it, but everyone's like a kid.
Yeah, and there's always something that you feel passionate about. And luckily for you, you've touched on my subject. Harry Potter is like a big one for me.
Harry Potter, man.
I don't know. But in fairness, I tried writing a song on the table that she wrote she had meant to have sat at to write most of the books, because she used to come back all the time and sit in the same place. Anyway, that song hasn't come out yet.
Did she leave some creativity there for you?
Well, I'm hoping she did. You never know, that song might make me millions, but for whatever reason, I haven't decided to release it yet. So I don't know.
I've been to the Harry Potter World in Florida.
Right. So you've been to Harry Potter World.
Yeah.
But you don't like Harry Potter.
My mum loves Harry Potter, so we had to go. I had to please my mother.
I need to meet your mum, because she plays James Morrison on a Saturday morning and she loves Harry Potter, so we should get on very well.
You should do, to be fair. Hopefully not too well.
I've heard that the Florida Harry Potter World is ridiculously good. I've been to the one in London, and there's like a record of like the longest someone's ever spent in there being like 5 hours. And if I hadn't been physically dragged out, I would have happily beaten that record. But yeah, I got booted out pretty much.
See, I don't like Harry Potter. I'm not a fan of it, but the Harry Potter World was sick. Like all the shops were like off the set and that, is it Diagon Alley?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, you know more about it than you're saying. I think deep down, if you gave it a chance, you know, you might like it.
My mum bullied me into watching it numerous times.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, down that Diagon Alley. There's like the shops, then when you go inside the shop, usually when you go somewhere and it's like meant to look like something, the inside of the shop's normal. It was like, the inside of the shop was actually like the inside of the shop on Harry Potter. You can go get your wands and stuff like that from that, what's the wand shop called?
Ollivander's.
That's the one.
Yeah, yeah. Don't test me. I know it all. I remember I took, there was a Harry Potter quiz, and it wasn't something advertised or anything like that. I just happened to be in the place that had this Harry Potter quiz. And I remember saying to the quiz masters, there were 60 questions and they got one of the questions. I can't remember what the question was, but they got one of the questions wrong. In the question, they'd actually said something that wasn't true. So I ended up going to them and being like, you don't even know what kind of quiz you're hosting here, do you? It's not even right.
So the Harry Potter police?
Yeah, I am. And I was making sure that they were going to sort it out, and they didn't. They happily asked everyone the wrong question anyway, and I was fuming, but never
mind. Did you win?
Of course I won. I wouldn't have left. I'd have argued to the death. But, yeah. Right, we're speaking way too much about Harry Potter now, aren't we?
Yeah, no, we have gone a bit off tangent with Harry Potter. He's kind of set us off.
I think you've got to respect though anyone who can think of a world like that, whether it's Lord of the Rings, like Harry Potter, even like the Marvel films and stuff like that. It baffles me how anyone can like have so much creativity in their head to think up all that stuff.
Yeah, it's like people think of the scripts, but then it's like the people, I don't know what it's called in filmmaking, like the directors and that, they have to direct everything to make sure it looks properly, and they get the green screens in the right place and stuff like that. They're some smart people.
100%. Like if you think how much effort, I can like think about how much effort it took me to create a 3.5 minute video with green screens here and there. But like thinking of films like that, oh my God, it must have been insane.
Imagine something like Avatar. I was just trying to make that.
Unbelievable. Like, ridiculous. You must have hundreds and hundreds of people that are absolute experts in that field to be able to do that. And the budget as well.
Must have taken 10 years to make one of them.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, ridiculous amount. And even the story of Harry Potter, back to Harry Potter, that book sat in someone's desk for ages at a publisher's. And they didn't read it, and then they were forced to read all of the material that they had at the time, and it ended up being one of the books that one of these people read, and they were like, oh my God, this is amazing. It all came from there.
Yeah, see, that's mad. That's like what it's like with your music and stuff. Like, your one of your songs could be sitting there right now just getting ready to blow up. Someone will find it and it just goes boom.
Everyone says that. That is the truth as well. One song is definitely enough to break you into the industry.
It's mad, and it's like the song that's going to make you millions could be sat there right now, just waiting, patiently waiting for it.
I really hope I've already written it. That'd be great. I'd really appreciate that. That'd be good. That would be very good. I'm getting loads of messages. Can you hear those?
Yeah, I can hear it going, putting, putting.
Oh, I don't know.
Popular man. Right. Popular man.
But, yeah. So I hope in this time that I've had off, I think I've written some really good stuff. I'm sat on over 15 tracks that are all pretty much ready to go. So I'm just hoping that some of them stick and people like them. But if the last single, if anything goes like that, I'd be over the moon, because like that's going above and beyond where I thought it would after just over a month.
Is that where you're gonna go in next one? Just follow that line.
I think so. I'm gonna see how it goes. And like, this one just seems to have connected with a lot of people. And like, trying to follow it up with something too similar, it might not work. So, and I do want to kind of explore different ideas and different things. But I think I'm definitely gonna release some more stuff in that style next year, and see where it takes me.
Fair enough, man. Tell the people where they can find you. How they can look you up.
You can find me at it's at Link Lewis Music on all social media platforms, and then on your Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, it's just Link Lewis.
All right. I want to thank you for coming on. We've run for about an hour now, so
thank you very much for having me.
This
is
the longest one.
Really? Oh, nice one.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. If you want to check out Link Lewis, make sure you listen to I've Gone Blank. What's my favourite song, Lewis?
Easily Said.
Make sure you listen to Easily Said. It's the best one. It's the best one, in my opinion.
Thank you, brother.
All good, man. Right, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, mate.